The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on the Gathering Radio Show.
Hi, welcome in to the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network. This is Stephanie.
And this is Heidi, and we're happy to be back here with you on another Tuesday evening. So yeah. We hope all is well with everyone out there.
Yes, I know. The second Tuesday of 2021.
Yes. Here we are.
Crazy. Crazy how time is just flying, you know?
I know. Pretty soon, we'll be halfway through the year. We'll be talking to Kyle again.
I know. It's craziness how fast this time is just, you know, flying by.
It is. Well, it helps that it's been nice out, too. Not that we're going to be talking about weather. I'm just saying.
No. Nice. No. January. No. And Casey and I snuck out to the island this past weekend, and it was great to be in 48-degree weather. Can I just say? It was phenomenal.
Yeah. That's nice. So how long were you out there?
We went out Thursday night and came back on Sunday. It was a real quick trip.
Oh,
okay. We have this goal of being out, of seeing what it's like out there in every season. So we thought the dead of winter might be a good time to go.
How was it?
I loved it. I'm telling you what, it's so green out there right now. It's because there's so much rain, basically, although it didn't really rain at all when we were there. But there's little waterfalls coming down the hills. And, you know, normally when we go out there, it's beautiful no matter what time of year you go out there. Yeah. But in the summer, there's a lack of water, right? And so it's quite brown. It's quite toasty, actually, you know, in most places. And the moss on the rocks is more brown. And right now, it's so green. It's what I imagine Ireland to be like. It was just phenomenal. I mean, it was like fluorescent green everywhere. It was just so cool. It was really fun to see. Nice. And wow, what nice temperatures for January 8th, right? 48 degrees, I think. It was just phenomenal, you know? So we had a really good time. It was really quick. Oh my gosh, you know, because it takes a whole day to get there and a whole day to get back. You know?
Right.
So, we're a little travel weary, but yeah, fun. It was so worth it. So, yeah, we had a good time.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun. That's nice to get away, especially in January. Although this year so far, this winter hasn't been too awful.
I know.
Granted, October was chilly. That was like crazy cold. But other than that, we've been doing all right. So, but still, 48 degrees. We have not had 48 degrees.
No.
Yet. So, good for you.
That was fabulous. And then we were in Seattle for a couple of hours before our flight. And it was warm there too. You know, it was the day after the Hawks lost in the playoffs. So we were disgusted. Everybody was. They even took down the 12th man flag off the needle, you know. So bummer, man. But, you know, they'll do it next time. They'll do it next year. Next year's the year. So, but anyway, yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. Fun to get into Seattle. We haven't been in Seattle for a long time because we always get to the airport and leave, you know. So it was kind of fun to get into downtown Seattle and see what was shaking. We walked around the piers a little bit. But yeah, it was a good trip all in all. Too short, though. It was like a blink and it was gone, you know.
Right.
So,
yeah, when there's so much travel time involved, it's hard.
Yeah. You know,
with the trip, you know, because it's like, oh, 4 days. Yeah. Well, not really. It's like two, you know.
Well, yeah, because fast. We didn't get there till Friday morning, and then we turned around and left Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. We have to take the ferry, you know. So, yeah, it was like 48 hours on island, actually, you know. So not enough, for sure. But
yep. Well, good visit, and now you got to see it in winter. So
yes. Yes, and now spring. Now spring. We have a trip in April with our Kentucky girls that we met out there in October. So all four of us are going out there. So that'll be a really wild, wild and woolly 5 days, I think we're going to go for that one. So,
do you typically go in the fall then? Is that when you've gone in the past?
Usually we go in the summer, like around my birthday and like in between the end of June and the end of July, because that's when, you know, the whales are most likely to be seen. Although the last few years, you know, they're all over the place. You know, I think they had seen them the day before we were there. We didn't see any. But there's not a lot of daylight out there right now either, right? So there's not a lot of daylight here in Minnesota, but they're, you know, several degrees north of us. And so it doesn't get light until after 8 o'clock in the morning, and the sun goes down about 4:30. So there's not a lot of daylight out there. So, but beautiful, all the same.
Yes. Well, nice that you got a little break anyway.
Yes. Yes. So goodness. So we are talking dragons today.
Yeah. This came up in probably a Paranormal Smorgasbord, right? Mm-hmm. It came up in the chat room at some point. I'm thinking it was a Paranormal Smorgasbord. A couple of months ago, actually, because we got this list going. And so we had to work dragons in at some point. So we wanted to talk about those. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight.
Yeah.
And I don't know if anybody actually, you know, usually when we talk about things, we're using either our own experiences or we look up, you know, information. And I looked up information because I do not have any personal experiences with dragons.
No.
Well, I shouldn't say that. Real personal experiences. I have spiritual experiences, but no real experiences for obvious reasons. But just looking up information online is like, wow, there's tons of cool stuff out there.
Yeah.
On dragons. So this was kind of fun to do some research on.
Well, it was. And, you know, people have talked about dragons just like mermaids for all eternity, right? And, you know, I pulled out one of my favorite books of all time. It's Aragon. And guess what? It's about a dragon named Saphira. But really, it's about Aragon who found this egg, and it was Saphira. And dragons' eggs only hatch for their owner, in this series anyway, only hatch for their dragon riders, right? And it's much in the vein of, I don't know if any of you have read it, but it's much in the vein of like Lord of the Rings or something, you know. It was written by a very young, at that time, because this is like 20 years old, but he was like 18 years old and he thought of this, wrote it. There's four books in the series. I have three. I didn't realize there was a fourth until today, so I'm going to have to go pick that up, you know, so I can read that. But just an amazing book. And of course, Saphira is a fabulous dragon, you know, and she's born and then she grows up and then he's the dragon rider and she takes care of him and they have mental telepathy back and forth. And, you know, all the things we think about with dragons is in this book, you know. So
cool. So is it set I'm just curious because I'm not familiar with it. Is it set in the past, I'm guessing, or...
It's a whole, you know, he created a whole world for this, you know, and it takes place, in a place that he lives in Montana. So this whole book, you know, takes place and they talk about the world as a landscape like Montana, right? It's called Iglesia. And
okay. So it's all fictional.
Yeah, it's all fictional. It's all, you know.
Got it. I didn't know if it was like taking place here on Earth in the past or what. Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Yeah. So it's fast. Cool. So if anybody's looking for a good book to read, and it's a series, right? So there's four of them. So I like those even better because if you like them, wow, then you have a lot of reading material for a long time. And now, like I said, I hadn't realized they came out with a fourth one. So I'm gonna have to get that one so I can finish reading the series. But yeah, so Christopher Paolini is the author. And like I said, he was 18 at the time he wrote Aragon. And I think now he's, you know, 40-ish or whatever, you know. So fun stuff.
Cool. Well, there you got a little bonus, too. You got another book out of the deal.
I know. And, you know, I love to read. I have books everywhere, you know. So, yeah, so that'll be my next one. I just started another one, and then I realized this. So, you know, I'm like, you know, a lot of us have several books going all at once. But there's one that keeps our attention more than most. So then we just keep reading that till it's over, and then we, you know, look for another one. But, yeah, so dragons have been in, you know, many books all over. They've been with us for all time. Right? I mean, they're, well, like I said, they're kind of like mermaids.
Yeah, I mean, just in looking up some information just on the history, I guess, if we can say that, brief history, I was looking up articles about, you know, where do these beings come from? And it's interesting because they really have been around for a long time. Many cultures, it looks like, they say from Americas to Europe to China and India, have a rich history with regard to dragons. And so they're not saying, they're not sure exactly how long these have been around, but they're thinking ancient Greeks and Sumerians, you know, had Greek or had a dragon lore in their stories. So, it's wondered, you know, that if at one point humans did believe that dragons existed and like many other things, you know, you wonder how it's maybe changed over time. I know some of what I was reading, I'm not going to say I know a lot about this, but with when Christianity spread across the world, any kind of stories or references to dragons took a very sinister turn and were automatically representing, you know, the devil or Satan or whatever. So because prior to that, they could be good, they could be not good. It depends, you know, kind of like we think about different, you know, elementals, right? You know, you have these different elementals that, you know, they're a real thing as far as real, you know, that isn't a, like a human or a animal or something like that, but they're a real thing. They're real energy.
Yeah.
And over time have been turned into a myth, you know, and legend. And so you kind of wonder, like, is this the same thing with dragon? You know, was this something at one point that people were like, yeah, this is a thing. And then it got twisted up and turned into something mythical over, you know, thousands and thousands of years. So, yeah, it was interesting looking this stuff up. I do have, if for those of you in the chat room, I do have some cool links that I will post into the chat room just so you can kind of see some of the stuff that I've been looking at and referencing. But it's, you know, it's cool to look at the how many cultures across the globe have dragons in their history. And there's some interesting similarities, you know. And so you wonder, did people actually, you know, were they traveling and connecting with each other and telling these stories to each other? Or did they come up through just their own cultures as these are a thing, but then oddly they're matching these other cultures that maybe they've never been connected to? Kind of like when you find pyramids all over the planet and, you know, we believe that these cultures weren't connected back when these pyramids were made. So it's just an interesting kind of line to follow. You know, that I've been thinking about now that I'm thinking about more about dragons, because previous to this, I haven't been giving a whole lot of thought to dragons other than I think they're cool and they might be real to some degree, at least if we want to go, and we'll talk about this at some point, I'm sure, tonight, about the cryptid side of it, you know, because that is where I went pretty quick with this. I'm like, well, wait a minute. We haven't seen any kind of evidence of dragons there. I mean, at least as far as, you know, modern humans, you know, we're not, there's no skeletons laying around or, you know, whatever, but why, you know, we haven't found a Bigfoot either. But there's a whole heck of a lot of people that believe Bigfoots are a real thing, whether it's here or interdimensional or whatever, believe it's a real thing. So why wouldn't dragons maybe be the same kind of thing? Right. It's possible.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, you know, and they did, I read somewhere, and I'm trying to find it as we're talking, because I read so many different things, and I didn't save all the links, but somewhere they said they found bones like from the dinosaurs that were resembled like dragon bones, you know?
Well, and that's one of the things that, yeah, I was reading that too. And, mm-hmm. you know, people back in the day maybe would find one big bone because we, you know, we haven't really found dinosaur skeletons until the last couple hundred years. But
right.
The bigger bones that they would find, they would, you know, humans assumed that they were dragon bones, you know, but now we understand that they were probably dinosaur bones. But yeah. do we, you know, unless you find a whole skeleton, do we know? And, you know, if you're looking at like pterodactyl, right, would be
yep.
if we're assuming that not all dragons, at least from what I've read, not all of them have wings. But, you know, you think of a big flying, you know, type of creature that could be some kind of reptile looking being. Pterodactyl yeah. might be somewhat close.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
There's other things that I've been finding in these articles that I'm like, oh my gosh, they're trying no, to, you know, just... people are putting together like what could be, like could dragons be possible? Looking at the evolution of some of the creatures that have lived on our planet. And there's a whole lot of yeses happening there.
Yeah.
You know, when you take the certain pieces of dragons and go, okay, huge reptilian type being. Well, here's not, you know, dinosaurs yep. notwithstanding, other beings that have gotten to be extremely large that maybe don't exist anymore, but did at one point. And then they take other features like the wings, and then they take other, and it's like, oh my gosh, this actually could have been a thing some point on our planet. Right?
Yeah. No, I kind of think they were real at one time. I don't know if they are anymore. You know, we have Komodo dragons, which of course aren't fire breathing, but they can get to be 10 feet long. Hey, and when I think of a dragon, that's what I think of. That's exactly how they look in my mind, except they have wings, right? I mean, Saphira definitely has wings.
Well, but
I always think of them as flying, you know, and they're very prevalent in Norse legends, right? I mean, the Vikings, a lot of them talked about dragons and dragon slayers, and they were manly men if they can get those dragons, you know. Mm-hmm. So and they're you know, subjects of it all around the world. I mean, look at over in China and Japan, they have fabulous artwork of these creatures, and they look a little different than what I think a dragon should look like. They look more like a snake mm-hmm. with maybe some wings or something. Mm-hmm. But Same thing. And, you know, they've discovered petroglyphs right here in the U.S. from the Native Americans from way back in the day that they painted on the walls. So every culture, every part of the world, right? So, wow. And they talk about, you know, maybe our lake monsters are related to dragons, you know? Mm-hmm. How do we know?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, too, you know, when we think of at least the kind of dragon that I think of, not necessarily maybe, because some of the dragons actually, whoops, excuse me, I'm smacking my ring against my desk here. The dragons are more, like you said, snake-like, right? Mm-hmm. Where they may not have wings or they have, you know, whatever. But the dragons that I'm thinking of have, you know, the big bodies,
yeah,
the long necks, the big head, fire-breathing, big wings, right?
Yeah.
And then they have four legs and then the wings.
Yeah. You know,
front legs, back legs. So, but this yeah. article I was reading, and I'm going to post a link to it because I think it's interesting on how evolution could give rise to real life dragons. And one of the things that they talk about is, so let me put this link in the chat room just so you guys can check it out too. Here we go. Can't talk and type at the same time. but they talk about the evolution of the wings, right? And how it's unlikely that a being has it would be six appendages, so four, you know, legs and, mm-hmm. and two wings. Is it's unlikely because typically the front legs of an animal, if they had any, and now they have wings, there was some kind of deformity or mutation or something that would, you know, cause the animal to have wings, and then the front legs or appendages would usually, you know, not be there or go away. Plus, it makes it weight an issue if something is actually going to fly to have, you know, too many appendages, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's, I'm paraphrasing this article to pieces. But so it was interesting to read that, though, because I thought, okay, well, that makes sense, you know, that you wouldn't have front legs and wings. typically don't, or the front legs are pretty much useless because they don't, you know, they can't have that much weight. And same with the body structure. When I was reading this article, that there's so much substance in some of these images of dragons with these big hulking bodies and these long, big, thick tails, and it would be almost impossible for them to fly with that size of body. You know, even if their wings are huge, it would be really hard to get that much weight into the air. And so, unless you're talking about magical beings, and then that's a whole different, probably a whole different thing that we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. But so you look at something that's more like the pterodactyl, where they have these smaller bodies, smaller tails, still could have longer tails, but you know, they might be more like pterodactyl shape and with the hollow bones for easier flight, you know, things mm-hmm. like that. So more bird-like instead of reptilian. Although a lot of the folklore shows, you know, scales, you know, reptile scales, things like that. So I don't know. Anyway, you got to check that article out if you're in the chat room, because I think it's interesting anyway, because it picks like each specific characteristic of a dragon and shows like how it could actually be possible. Mm-hmm. And they even did, they found with the fire breathing part, this is what I thought was kind of cool. Let me scroll down and find it here in this article, because it's like one of the last things they talked about, because they said, okay, let's get down to the nitty gritty here. Fire breathing, that's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. And there's actually a beetle called the bombardier beetle that has, let's see here, it will, they have a hydroquinine, I think I'm saying that right, and a hydrogen peroxide in their abdomen. They store this in sacs in their abdomen. And when provoked, they initiate a violent chemical reaction that ejects a near boiling hot stream of chemicals at the attacker. And so there's this, you know, projectile that's shot out that burns, literally burns, that whatever is attacking. And so there are things that are, I guess, close. I mean, granted, this is a small little beetle, but, you know, it's, I've never heard of that, and it scares the heck out of me. thank goodness it looks tiny in this picture. But, you know, there are, you know, they hit everything in this article to say, hey, some of this is possible. Like, this could actually be a thing, and maybe they were here and they're extinct. Or, again, as we like to lean towards cryptids, what if it's a cryptid? Kind of like the lake monsters, you know?
Yeah.
And if they're interdimensional, we may not have a lot of evidence of them being here.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And then, you know, like Sherry just is talking about the never-ending story, and I can't remember what his name was with that one. Do you remember that dragon in that movie? That was a good one too.
God, I haven't seen that forever. Oh my God. And I'm going to have to watch it again.
I know. And Dave is saying, let us not forget Puff the Magic Dragon. Not only existed, but he lived by the sea.
Oh yeah. Cannot forget that. Karen said the only other six appendage entities I'm aware of are angels. Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's fascinating to think about dragons, especially when you think, just thinking in cryptid terms.
Yeah.
Then why couldn't it be possible that they're still around now? Could and be. Actually, I don't know if you found any videos. I found a video clip of 10 top dragon videos.
Oh, you
and
did?
I'll put that in the, I'll put it in the chat room, because it's like, okay, I've got to put it in there. Now, granted, the first part of the video is from movies and stuff like that, or Game of Thrones or whatever. I don't know. Other things, but I'll copy this and put it in the chat room. So you guys can check it out. Because some of them, I believe, are total, they're not real, like these videos. But some of them you look at and you go, whoa, if that's real, we're like, that's crazy. You know, but we think of things that we see in the sky, like, let's say, UFOs or unidentified flying objects,
maybe
whatever it
dragons.
Is. Well, I mean, there's a lot of stuff flying around up there that we can't necessarily put our finger on or can't wrap our minds around. So maybe could some of these videos, I'm not saying they are, but could they be true or real? I don't know. Maybe.
The possibilities are endless, right?
I
mean, we don't know
everything.
I think so. We know nothing, you know? Falcor, that's the name of the dragon from Neverending Story. Thank you, Jerry. Yeah, we don't know. I mean, I kind of think they do exist somewhere. You know, maybe they live up in those in some mountains somewhere far away. You know, and we just, I mean, look, we haven't, we only have looked at like 1% of the seas. You know, I'm sure we haven't looked at all the land on planet Earth either. You know, there's right. a lot of mountains, a lot of ranges that we've never been to. You know,
right. Well, and so if you think of how high up some of them are, or how hard they would be to access.
Yep.
Why couldn't things live in those that we would have a heck of a time? And I know that there's all the satellite and stuff, but what if there's evidence and we just haven't gotten, you know, it hasn't been released yet? Or, you know, you have the two poles, you know, if there's, we don't get to those very often, I would imagine. I mean, I know there's people there studying or doing whatever, but could there be creatures that live there or can go underground there or whatever and have their lairs there? Absolutely. Possibly.
Absolutely. I mean, there's all kinds of possibilities. And my thoughts go right up to the Laplands in between, you know, Norway and Finland and Sweden. And that whole area up there is, there's not a lot of people up there. There's hardly any people up there, you know? So, and it's all rocky and mountainous and who knows? Maybe that's where some of them live, you know?
Possible. Yeah. Karen said Mothman is also another cryptid with six appendages, which, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of cryptids, you know, or, you know, alternate beings, not necessarily living creatures here. But right. yeah, there's a lot of, when we start expanding outside of what's in our tangible world that we can see, there's a lot of, you know, six-leggeds or whatever we want to call them, six-appendaged beings.
Creatures. Well, fairies. Look at fairies. They have six appendages, you know?
Yep.
So
yeah, it's cool to think about when you start thinking about it in encrypted terms. Then, I don't know, because you and I both think about Bigfoot being a, you know, interdimensional, right?
Yep.
So then why couldn't any of the other beings be interdimensional if we're looking at lake monsters or a Mothman, absolutely. For instance, since we just mentioned him? Any of them. Now we just opened up the whole thing. And
I know.
Anything's possible.
Well, it is true, though. But it is true, and it's alternate. You know, there's so many layers of reality, right? And there's so many dimensions. And who's to say that, you know, they're not in another dimension like you said, like Bigfoot. I've always said that I thought lake monsters were probably in another dimension as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, because it would make sense then if there's so many people on this planet that believe that these beings exist.
Mm-hmm.
So then how do we get there, you know, without there not being something that's rooted in this place, you know, or our reality. So, you know, that we've seen things, we've, you know, had stories passed down, whatever it is, it had to come from somewhere, you know? And so I think there is some truth to this to some degree.
I do too. I do too. I do think people have seen them throughout history in real time. Just like think of spirits. We see spirits, but we know they're real. Not everybody sees them, but they exist on another plane too, you know? So why not? And like I said, they maybe, like you said, have their lairs up somewhere in some craggy mountain range there where people are not anywhere near them, and you know, we just don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly.
It's a really fun thought, you know. And why not? And why not?
So.
And maybe they look like Saphira because she's a beautiful dragon. I mean, if you read the book, she's gorgeous. And there are other dragons in this series too. Saphira is not the only one. And you know, it's such a well thought out storyline, you know, and it's like the dragon riders and the dragons. If the dragon dies, the riders live, but they have a broken heart. But if the rider dies, the dragon dies too, because they can't live without their rider, because they have a bond, you know.
Well, that's terrible.
Yeah, I know, right? Karen is saying, on the other hand, people believe in all sorts of faultless things these days, but that's these days, Karen. Let's think about this. The dragons have been around for all of mankind's years on Earth, you know? So it's not just today.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been passed down for so long that you just have to wonder where the root of it is.
Just like fairies. I mean, just like mermaids and, you know, all of them. So, yeah, no, I believe.
Yeah. So, you know, I have some other things I want to talk about when it comes to this, but we have a break to take.
Yeah, so we will be back in 2 minutes. This is the Gathering Radio Show on the Para X Radio Network.
More variety.
You're listening to Para X.
You've no doubt heard of Tango and Cash, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. Perhaps it takes two to tango. Well, now, on the first and third Thursdays of each month, there's a show called Tango and Friends at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Para X Radio Network with your host, Bruce Tango. And yes, there will be at least two to tango on each episode, sometimes even more. There's going to be lots of topics and lots of guests you'll all know and lots of surprises. Tango and Friends, every first and third Thursday of the month at 8 p.m. right here on the Para X Radio Network.
In order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock for Dark Sun Rising on the Para X Radio Network.
Haunted by shadow people in the middle of the night?
Do you secretly love all things creepy and spooky, enjoying ghost stories and horror fiction from the best storytellers?
Do you have a true ghost experience you want to share, but no one will believe you?
If yes, listen to the professionals on What Are You Afraid Of? Horror Paranormal Show, Friday nights at 9 p.m. on Para X Radio and at www.whatareyouafraidofpodcast.com.
What are you afraid of on Para X?
Our creepy and demented hosts are on call to provide you with all your spooky needs with true ghost stories, interviews, indie music, and new horror fiction. We are ready to scare you.
Para X.
Welcome back to the Gathering Radio Show on the Para X Radio Network, and we're talking about dragons tonight. And we've had a lot of chatter in the chat room here. We put out some links to videos and stuff. You had a chance to watch the video on the break, didn't you?
Yeah, it was
interesting,
good.
Isn't it?
It is. It is.
You look at this and you go, gosh, this stuff is real. Like, that's cool.
Yeah. Well, and they start out with the Game of Thrones, I believe. Now, I have never watched the Game of Thrones, Heidi. I don't think you have either.
No.
I see
the last two people on the planet. Sorry.
Right. Everybody. But when I see images like this, it makes me think maybe I need to watch it.
I know. Now I see it and I go, well, that's kind of cool.
Well, maybe.
Maybe I'll hunker down someday and watch. Bunch of it.
Yeah, but so, yeah. So yeah, it's a
but
good
it's
video,
interesting
so.
Looking at those videos, isn't it? And you think, gosh, that's cool. If that's real, that's super cool.
Yeah,
I know some of them. I don't think they're real. I can tell. Like they just look stupid. But some of them in there, it's like, come on, really? That might be real. Yeah. Like
they're awesome. Geez. They're so awesome.
Jeez, Louise.
And the thing is, so here's the other thing, is they even talk about dragons in the Bible, right? And not in so many words, you know, they call them different things, you know, because it was in the old Hebrew language and we don't really know how that translates. But I was looking at one of the passages is Isaiah 27. So I looked it up. Now I have my New Living Translation, so it's a little bit different than the King James Version. It's a little bit easier to read and I should have brought my King James Version down, but so it talks about in the 27th chapter, it talks about the swiftly moving serpent, the coiling, writhing serpent, the dragon of the sea. You know, and it talks about how the Lord will take his terrible swift sword and punish this Leviathan. And, you know, this Leviathan is mentioned in many different books throughout the Bible. So, you know, and calling it a dragon right there, you know, I just think it's very interesting.
Yeah. No, it is interesting. And, you know, whether they mean dragon or if that's, you know, to mean like some evil being or the devil or whatever. I mean, they could mean that by calling it a dragon. I don't know, because I know that that's, at least from the research, it looks like that's what they were trying to translate. you know, is just into something evil. But it is interesting that at least it's referenced, you know.
Well, you know, that's how when Christianity came, you know, everything that they didn't want people to believe in was evil, right? And the devilish and whatever.
Yeah.
I know there's a few Psalms that talk about it too, but in my version, you know, it talks about, they're saying it's a crocodile or an alligator instead. So we're not even going to go there because apparently in the original King James Version, it looks more like it's what I just read, a dragon, a serpent dragon. But anyway, interesting that it's even in the Bible, you know?
Yeah, that is interesting. And so one of the things that we were talking about prior to the break, this video that I posted, right? And some of these clips, and you saw the video, so you know what I'm talking about. They look like possible like pterodactyls, right?
Yeah.
So now it's okay. So pterodactyls were until what, 66 million years ago that they went extinct? Isn't that what it, I don't know. I might be wrong a few million years, but
millions. Yeah.
Anyway, there's a huge gap between dinosaurs and us and humans, right? So, but there's these videos of what look like pterodactyls, which would be probably a distant cousin to dragons to some degree. You know, they have to have probably this, a lot of the same features anyway, to be able to fly with how big they are.
Mm-hmm.
So some of these videos look like pterodactyls. So I'm looking up, you know, pterodactyl sightings, and there's quite a few states here. We're starting to talk like UFO and Bigfoot sightings here. Now there's pterodactyl sightings across the U.S. And there's saying that North Carolina is one of the hot spots for seeing pterodactyls, for pterodactyl sightings.
Really?
Yep. And now I'm just looking at the U.S. And of course, this is, you know, this would be the equivalent of, you know, someone putting together a Bigfoot map or a UFO map, I'm guessing. But there's a state map, I'll have to put a link on the chat room for everybody, that shows the top states that have sightings of pterosaurs, they're calling them. So the pterodactyl family, right? And let's see here. Yeah, North Carolina, California, Utah, no. Yeah, Hawaii, Texas. So lots of, there's like a handful of different states. I looked at Minnesota and it's, we only have 2 to 3 sightings. I'm like, 2 to 3?
Well, are they those?
Number. I'm like, what? How are we seeing pterodactyls here? Like, I want to go out and see a pterodactyl now.
Well, no. So listen, so there was a sighting over by Fort Snelling, actually, of a big winged creature that was way bigger than an eagle, had a huge body. And Casey, actually, when she used to drive truck the last year or two, she doesn't do that anymore, but when she did, she was over there a lot, and she had seen it like 3 times. And so it's like hanging out over the Mississippi River Valley over there, you know, where it's all national park and gorgeous area. And she said, now she's been with me to see the eagles, so she knows how big an eagle is. She said this thing, because she didn't know anything about this, and she called me up one day, and she said, Mom, I saw this winged creature flying over this area, she told me. And she said, the wingspan was like twice that of an eagle, and he had a big body, and I have no idea what it was. And I'm like, oh. And then I saw this, you know, I had seen this before, and I told her, I said, well, this guy had seen this. And I said, is this what you saw? And she said, yeah. And then she happened to be over, she was over there a lot at this time, and she's seen it a couple of times. And I know I've been over there, but I mean, really, it's chance, right? I have gone over there to check it out. I haven't seen it, but there is a well-documented article actually about this guy who was at Fort Snelling, who saw this, and he said it just came down and it was ginormous and it was on the ground and then it took off. So, and I know that they've seen those down there. You know, remember Mike Richburg we had on our show a couple years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And he lives down in South Carolina, and he talked about that big winged creature that he saw one time too. So that's in the Carolinas, right? So who knows what they are? I mean, it's quite fascinating.
Yeah, it is. You know, to think of something that big flying in the air, Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, I think about eagles flying around here and I go outside with my dog because I don't want him to get picked up by one because he could be easily picked up by an eagle or an owl or whatever. And that would be horrible and horrific and I would hate that. So I always go out with him. He's never alone outside. Well, if there's something around there flying around like that, like a pterodactyl or a big, you know, thunderbird or something, like we could be the little dog.
Yeah.
Like humans could be the little dog. Not saying that that's what they would do.
We could be.
But what if they did?
Yeah.
And say they look down and they are like, oh, there's a little human. Those are tasty. And they pick you up and fly away with you.
Just pick them right up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Karin is like saying condors and turkey. Well, and Karin is saying condors and turkey vultures look huge. Yes, but turkey vultures aren't as big as an eagle, you know, and I don't think condors are either. I think bald eagles are pretty big, you know, compared to them. And Casey is experiencing turkey vultures for sure. I don't know about condors, but and this was something totally different. So, yeah, I know. We have to get down there by the river there and see if we can find whatever this is, because that would be so fun to see. And I know it takes more than once, right? You just got to keep going back, you know, several times. So,
yeah, I agree with Kat. I think condors can be larger than eagles. They can be really, really big. Really big. And I guess it depends on which, you know, there's different types of eagles, different types of condors, I'm guessing. Right. Who knows? But the condors can get really big, too. I've seen them when I've been out west.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think we have them in Minnesota. You know, they're kind of that whole southwest kind of place. But yeah, interesting. Cool. So cool. But that
Sherry wants to give them all a hug. You go for it, Sherry.
Yeah, so do I. Eagles are very large. Nuts. And great horned owls are really big.
There's talons involved. Let me just remind everybody, there's talons. Like,
and
all
the eagle
of them
talons,
have talons
are huge, huge. And the great horned owls' talons aren't as big as eagles, but there's more pressure in them, so they can just... even more so than an eagle. Isn't that wild? I know, I just read that not too long ago. But yeah, the albatross has the largest. Again, I don't
think
they
don't fly, do they? Or do they? Do they fly? I don't even know. I don't know enough about birds to. And we're going down a rabbit hole here on
that's
birds
right.
of dragons, I'm guessing.
That's what we do.
But, you know, we're talking about these. Sightings, right? You know, these different sightings that people have, and they've been posting videos. I mean, there's tons of videos. And again, are they all legit? I don't know, but some of them look legit. And now that makes me want to think, you know, when you're thinking of the different, you know, again, I said UFOs, Bigfoot, whatever, why not? You know, why wouldn't we just throw large winged creatures in to just mix it up a little bit and say, well, heck, if we think there's UFOs and Bigfoot, I'm not gonna just shut down when it comes to, you know, a dragon at this point.
No, me either. You know, there's a little truth to everything. You know, that's what I always say.
Yeah.
So maybe we need to put dragons on the Squatchers lookout list.
Yeah, for sure. Well, now I'm gonna be on the lookout because that's if I don't find a dragon, I want to find one of those pterodactyls, because 2 to 3 in Minnesota, that's something.
Oh, we got to go. Yeah, down there in the river valley, I think some of us just...
Yeah, it doesn't say in that article where. That's what I like.
You know
where.
What? Let me see if... Well, this guy that saw it, that was in this article, saw it over at the Fort Snelling. Or maybe it was at the VA hospital. It was one of those places. Close there, but right there.
Oh, the same area over there. Yeah, that's cool. So, yeah, I'd like to see something. You know, I'd like to, if anybody in the chat room, I suppose you would have shared by now, but if there is anyone in the chat room that thinks that they've had some kind of sighting or visual, I'd love to hear about it. Even if you don't have any proof, I don't care. I just want to hear the story. So share it in the chat room. Anyway, but yeah, it's just... It really does, if it's a dragon or a pterodactyl or a huge bird, I mean, there's really that vulnerability, I think, that we would have. I mean, I know there's people out there that probably want to shoot it, which is terrible.
Yeah.
Just leave it alone. They're not hurting you. But really, to think of, you know, now you feel kind of like my little dog where something could just pick you up and carry you away. Like, that's scary. Mm-hmm. That is super scary. Mm-hmm. That would be, if I saw something that big flying in the air, I don't know what I would do. Like, I really don't know. Although I'm trying to get UFOs to come to the house, so I guess I should.
I guess I don't know what I would do with that either.
So,
no. Be careful what you wish for. That's what I'm saying.
I know.
Geez, I wish I could find that. I don't even remember how I found it. I think I was researching some cryptids and it came up. And of course, now I can't find it.
So, Kat said, saw a huge bird twice. The wingspan was the length of an average car. Whoa. Wow. How was this recent? Was this a while back? I'm curious. Karen in the chat room said, when I was a kid, an eagle flew over me very close, and I imagined it to be huge, and it inspired a lifelong fear of large birds. Yes, that would be when you're a kid and have a bird that close to you and that big. That would be scary. So Kat said it looked to be all black, and it was several years ago. Well, I posted that link about that Thunderbird. Well, I don't know if it was actually a Thunderbird, but there's a, huge. If you didn't click on it, you should check it out. That's a huge black-winged creature that I posted a link for up there in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if that's something close to what you saw. That thing is huge. It was definitely bigger than a car. But that would be terrifying if it was right there. Although, again, I say this, and then I've been like, gosh, I wish I could see Mothman. I wish I could have a UFO land in the backyard. Right? So I just need to think twice about it, because at that rate, why not just have a dragon land in the backyard and then hope it doesn't carry me away?
Yeah.
So I guess.
I think it would be awesome. I like that idea.
I say that, and I'd be hiding in my basement, immediately.
Well, see, I would love that. I would never want UFOs to land by my house, though.
I'm going to try this summer. Get some folks out here, and we're going to do a little test project. I'll have more to report later after we do it. There's books on how to do it. I got one, and I'm going to try it. Yeah. We'll see what happens if I'm still here to talk about it.
I was just going to say,
they take me.
Okay. Oh.
So Kat said, at first sight, we thought it was a turkey vulture until we realized how close it was, and then it took off. She said it was between Waldron and Hillsdale in Michigan. And she said it didn't seem to be native. Maybe it was migrating or got lost and stopped in for a snack.
Stopped in for a snack.
Yeah, be careful. Don't be the snack.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, who knows what they are, but isn't that cool? I love it.
I don't know. I just think dragons could be a thing that
I do too.
You know, and why, like, if you watched Ancient Aliens, like some of us have, that show, and, you know, all the different things that maybe aren't around now, but are referenced in different, you know, statues or drawings or buildings that were made a long time ago. You know, dragons maybe were around or had some kind of, you know, alternate reality connection or interdimensional connection or possibly, you know, extraterrestrial connection. So maybe they were part of something else that was in that, you know, time span of, you know, pyramids and whatnot, or before that even, that there's some kind of documentation that just, it's still with us, probably because it would be really impactful if that was a real thing, to have this big, huge creature flying through the air. Anyway, so, or could it be that it was actually a UFO that looked like that?
Right.
Looked like a real, like a living being instead of a craft, you know, some kind of vehicle.
Yeah. Well,
so, I don't know. I mean, maybe they were, it was, I don't know, I'm just going down a little. But there's so many different ways to look at it. So why not look at it that way, I think?
Well, like I said, there's unlimited possibilities, right? Mm-hmm. We don't know what's out there, what's not out there. But the fact is, like mermaids, dragons have been seen throughout history in all areas of the world, in all cultures. So what is it? What is it? And pterodactyls, yeah. So now we're seeing these big giant birds with the big wingspan. And what are they? We don't know. I don't think those are dragons, but wow, what are they? Because they're seen, like you said, in the Carolinas, and we've had those sightings here in Minnesota.
I gotta do some more research on that, because if there's
I will find that article. And post it somewhere. So maybe next week we can just kind of revisit it, because I'll find it. I don't know what I was. I think I was researching one of our cryptid things, you know, and it popped up, and I'm like, wow, you know. And then Casey came to me with this, that she had seen something in that same area, and I'm like, tell me about it, you know. And it sounded just like this story. And she would call me every once in a while and say, Mom, I just saw that huge thing flying overhead. I'm like, what? Take a picture. Why can't I'm driving?
Yeah, for real. Well, everybody says that, and then, you know, we might have a Bigfoot sighting and we're so stunned that we don't get our phone out.
Exactly. You can't take a picture, you know, or you're just, yeah, you're stunned and you can't do anything.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I just, yeah, the more I've researched, you know, for the show, I thought, God, this would be kind of cool to have an experience. Mm-hmm. Add it to the list of things I'm looking for when I go out into the nature, to the wide open spaces.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Very interesting. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm hoping I run into out here in the country now that we're out here. I'm like, gosh, there's a lot of weird stuff out in the sky. So maybe, you know, if a dragon or pterodactyl could come through too, that would be interesting. UFO. Mm-hmm. I'm open to all of it, even though some of it would probably scare me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Dogman has been reported in that wildlife area by you too, you know. Yeah. Keep your eye out.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully, if there's still snow this weekend, I'm going to go out snowshoeing.
Yeah. Yeah. Have a look and see what you find.
Because that area is weird. I mean, weird cool, but it doesn't feel like Minnesota anymore. It's kind of swampy.
It's kind of swampy, isn't it?
It does have a lot of swampy there, because that's a migratory, huge migratory area for birds. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of it that's actually blocked off so that humans can't go and mess around there or hunt or anything like that. So there's probably a lot of space there that we would not have access to, so we wouldn't see what has an opportunity to be there, live there, hang out there, stop there.
Yeah.
Who knows? So possibly be able to see things as they're taking off or coming in. Mm-hmm. If you're standing out somewhere there. Yeah, Karen said Elk River used to be a UFO hotspot. I know, because we've had some weird stuff happen out here. So I'm looking forward to see what happens this summer and get some people out here and maybe do some calling out.
Yeah,
or just sky watching, right? Just to see. But I'm definitely going up to that forest area and check it out.
Yeah, you should. You know, Cindy and I talked about that area, and she's ridden horses a lot through there. There's a lot of horse trails apparently in there. And she said for sure she has never seen anything like that there, but there are a lot of areas that are closed off to trails and humans and horses. And so who knows, you know? For sure, but fun stuff. Oh, what is Cat put something out here? Let's look at this.
Oh, she has it's a different scales of turkeys, golden eagles, condors, showing the sizes.
Yeah, condors are huge, but they're not in Minnesota. I mean, I really think they're just in the West, aren't they? I mean,
the only time I've seen them is when I was in California. I think that's where I saw them.
Mm-hmm.
Was I in? Exactly. I know I was at the Grand Canyon, I think.
Yeah, the Southwest. Yeah.
I was at the Grand Canyon. That's where I saw them, because I was on a, they were doing some kind of talk. I overheard someone doing a talk, and there were some condors and stuff. And
golden eagles are bigger. You know, I've seen golden eagles too. They are bigger than bald eagles, but bald eagles are pretty big. You know, can be.
Yeah, anyway. Can be huge.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I know. And yes, they are endangered species. Yep.
So,
yeah, Southwest of Mexico, Dave says. Cool. This is so fun. So we'll have to get Squatchers out in the Mississippi River Valley here and see if we can find that bird that everybody's talking about and see what it is.
For sure.
That would be fun.
Keep cameras out though, because they're fast.
And this is a good time to do it, right? We can get down there by the river and just kind of meander around, and we can look for Bigfoot down there too. I mean, there's all kinds of things that could really be there.
And that's what's nice about winter is that you don't have the leaves and stuff. So if you're looking up or around, you don't have all those obstructions.
No mosquitoes, close to home, you know, just get there in no time. Yeah. So, maybe we'll see one. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, we can hope. Or maybe we can find some tracks or something, you know. So a shout out for the calling radio show tomorrow night. Everyone needs to listen because Bobby Sullivan is their guest tomorrow night. He is a psychic here in Minneapolis and a Reiki healer. And I don't know, he does kind of a lot of things, Heidi. I don't know what all he does. You know him too.
Yep.
But he is the guest on the calling tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central and 8 p.m. Eastern right here on the Para X Radio Network. So that's my shout out to them.
High fives to the calling.
That's right.
Well, this was a fun topic. So thanks to whoever dropped it into the chat room, however long ago. I can't remember who did it, but it was someone in our chat room that gave us the dragon topic, and that was cool.
Yeah.
We've got a handful of things that we're going to be talking about coming up, and some of these topics, the guests that we want to bring in are elusive as all get out. So it's a challenge to find us. I'm working. You're working. We're both working to get these guests or find guests that want to talk about certain things that we would like to talk about on our show. So we will keep working on it.
But we will get them. Do not despair. We will get them. Dave is saying there's no mud for me to sink in out there at this time of year. You're right.
Well, if it stays warm like this, there will be, so just be careful.
Well, I think it's going to be nice for a couple of days, right? And then it's supposed to be supposed to get cold and snowy. And just in time for the treasure hunt, you know, that's then it'll be below zero. And we'll be freezing out there looking for that darn medallion.
For sure.
Which is always fun, fun, fun. I'm so glad they're doing it this year. Yes, harpy eagles. Are they the ones with the human-like face? Remember that one? I think they're down in South America. And they do have a big wingspan. They are the biggest ones. Yeah, snow on Thursday. And then it gets chillier. You know, it gets chillier as the days progress. I got to say, it's really fun to get out on the ice. Casey gave me ice skates, so I'm hoping to get out on them this weekend out on Silver Lake. So somebody has actually plowed a trail all around Silver Lake on the ice, which is so fun. Melly and I were out there today. But I want to go and skate on that trail and skate all around the lake. Wouldn't that be fun?
If you like skating, sure.
But yeah, I love it. I haven't done it for years, so hopefully I can still do it. But I have skates now, so I can. We're going to give it a try.
I used to have skates. I used to skate all the time. I do not anymore.
Yeah, I loved it. I could never roller skate, but I could always ice skate. Dave said that's not a good idea. Bubble wrap,
Yeah, wrap yourself up in bubble wrap before you go out.
Absolutely.
Be careful.
Oh.
Yeah. So our chat room has turned into a topic of birds and their wingspans. Mm-hmm. So a little bit away from dragons, but it's still good stuff because it's fascinating to see how big some of these get. And I could imagine, you know, from far away, some of these might have an odd look to them. You know, if you're not used to seeing these kind of birds, or you go somewhere else to a different state and you're not used to the local animals or wildlife, you might get kind of freaked out if you see something.
Yeah.
You know, and even I think I told you, I know I've mentioned this before, when I was in St. Louis Park at my old house and an owl flew past my picture window. And it was huge. Because it was between my house and the tree, which the tree is 12 feet away from the house, maybe. And it flew in between. And the wingspan, I almost had a heart attack. So it's huge. So I can see where people could mistake things or just because of the, you know.
Well, if you don't know. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, I was up in the woods with Katie and... Katie and Carrie, and we saw an owl in the tree, and then she flew in the daytime. Okay, that's bizarre, but big, you know,
big for sure. All right, we got to wrap it up. We're at the end.
Yeah. So thanks for listening, everyone, to the troops. If you're listening, be safe. Thank you for your service, as always.
Yes, and thank you, everybody in the chat room, for all your awesome comments and everybody out there in the radio land listening. Para X, thank you for hosting us. And Sarge, our most amazing producer, thank you very much as well. And we have had another fun evening. So thank you.
Night, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Good night.